Malachi chapter 3. We've been going verse by verse through the book of Malachi, and we've basically seen that this is God's last prophet to his chosen people for before the silence, because the next person that's going to show on the scene is who? John the Baptist. And then Christ is going to be there. So these are things that the Israelites needed to learn. They knew them, just like we know them. And we know the truth, but you know something? It's one thing to know something, it's another thing to do it. So tonight we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and we're going to talk about treasures of God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are supposed to be vessels of honor and not of dishonor. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, in whom are hid what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We see in Proverbs that we're supposed to seek out wisdom as precious treasure. But when we talk about the treasures of God, these are something that we should be desirous of. God's chosen people, Israel, delivered out of bondage, given a land that they didn't have to work for. God shows himself strong, kills all their enemies, destroys them. You would think that they would follow God. But, you know, they get complacent. And we've been reading through chapter 1 and chapter 2 about their complacency and their failure to follow God. And so we start out tonight looking at Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. And it says this, it says, your words. Who's he talking to? He's talking about the priest. He's talking about the country. He says, your words have been stout against me. You could look that up, and that word for stout could also be considered to be harsh. Your words have been harsh against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You know, there's people out there doing things against God. They don't even know it. There's Christians out there doing things against God, and they don't even know it either. In verse 14, it says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up or brought up on high. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I have made up my jewels. And there's the treasures. Okay. When I made up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Yet ye shall return. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the reading of your word. Father, we just ask that it would just resound in our hearts. Father, just help us, Lord, to learn the message that you want us to hear tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been seeing over and over in this part of Malachi that you have a choice. You have a choice to serve God. You have a choice not to serve God. You have a choice to follow God's word. You have a choice of not following God's word. You either fulfill Scripture in a positive manner or you will fulfill Scripture in a negative manner. But whatever the case may be, the Scripture will be fulfilled. Truth will happen. So tonight we're going to have a contrast between two groups of people. They're both called servants. But one is a faithless servant, and the other is a faithful servant. So as we go along here, we're going to look in the first part of this passage tonight, verses 13 through 15, and we're going to see the faithless servants. See, in verse 13, this passage starts out what? It says, your words have been what? They've been stout against me. See, they spoke harshly to the Lord. And in review, we can see how they say, you know, when you were a kid and you might have done something wrong and somebody kind of called you out, what was your response? Who? Me? Me? I didn't do that. I wasn't there. Or somebody gets in trouble in a class and a teacher, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. See, they've already spoken harshly to the Lord. We've seen this four times now in the previous chapters. The first thing is it says, your words have been stout against me from doubt. From doubt. Remember the second verse of Malachi chapter 1. It said, ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? See, you know, you want to figure out how to get away from God. Basically, forget that God loves you. Basically, think that God doesn't love you. And the issue is there's a lot of people out there saying, well, God doesn't love me because he doesn't give me the things that I want. No, God loves you because he gives you the things that you need. Amen. And so we need to understand that we need to go God's way, not try to get God to go our way. And basically, they had doubt because where's the love of God? We're not getting blessed anymore. You know why? Because they were falling away from God. So they spoke harshly to the Lord when they basically refused his love. There's no doubt that God loved Israel. There's no doubt that God loves us. Why would we even have that come into our brain that God doesn't love me? The second thing is, in review here, is they spoke stout words against the Lord from disagreement. See, once you start turning your back on God and say, he doesn't care about me anymore, then you'll start rationalizing, you start disagreeing with him. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 12, the last part of that verse is that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. See, God's printing these charges of you're doing wrong. You're not doing the wrong thing. And every time he approaches them, they come back with what? Some excuse. Some excuse. It's not a valid excuse. Folks, it's God's way or it's not the right way. Pure and simple there. So they spoke harshly the words, and this is just a culmination of this, because they doubted. Where have you loved us? We haven't seen the love of you. Where all this issue about sacrifice and everything else, why are we doing that? Because they said it was polluted. And you know, as you start disagreeing with God and what he's told us to do, then it leads to disobedience. It leads to disobedience. A couple of weeks ago in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, it says, ye say, you see this? This is culminating on all these phases that I've picked out of this. It says, ye say, it's them talking back to God. And so this is the words that are stout against him. It says, ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath what? Been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast what? Dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. See, basically we start doubting about God's love. We basically start disagreeing. And then his truth is not our truth. His covenant is not our covenant. And then lastly, it just comes into disgust. And as we closed out chapter 2 of Malachi, basically, it says, when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Folks, that's happening today. That's happening today. It's happening in churches. It's happening in our society. We see it's a Romans chapter 1 thing. They worship the creature more than the creator. We get everything backwards. Okay? And so they spoke harshly to the Lord because of these things, and God's going to call them out. Chapter 4 is a very small chapter, but it's going to talk about what's coming. Okay? What we need to understand is what's happening now. What's happening now to them. They had an ungodly view of service. They had an ungodly view of service. Let's go back to verse 14. It says, he has said, it's what? It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his orders? You know something? They said it was unimportant to serve God in that thing. It's vain to serve God. You know, when you have an opportunity to come to church and you don't do it, you're basically saying it's not important. When you have an opportunity to do something for God and the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something and you're refusing it, you're basically saying, my way is more important than your way. And so they said here, the first thing they said, it's vain to serve God. I guarantee you, folks, it is not vain. He will reward according to our what? Works. And if you do nothing, you get nothing. Unlike the government. Do nothing, you get money. Okay? No. God doesn't want it to do that way. They had an ungodly view of service. They said it's unimportant to serve God. I'll serve God on my own terms. Said it's a vain thing to serve God. They said it was what? Unprofitable to serve God. You know, in our society today, we have this issue of what's in it for what? Me. Serve me. No. Christ, when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, I've done this as an example so you do to others. They said here, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Here's a clue. They weren't. They weren't. And folks, confronted with a failing in your life, most of us, if not all of us, will come up and say, well, I'm doing it. What am I doing wrong? Have you ever heard that? What am I doing wrong? The nation's coming up and they're saying, well, what are we doing wrong, Lord? Remember Christ and the beam and the splinter? He said, hey, take out the beam out of your own eye before you start removing splinters from other eyes. They were blind to what was going on here. They were blind to this. He said it was unprofitable to serve God. And folks, if you think that it's unimportant, you're not going to show faith, no matter what you say. If you say that it's unprofitable to serve God, you're not going to show faith, no matter what you say. And then they said it was unproductive. Said in the last part, it says, and we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Remember what they said? They said that it's a burden to serve God. It was a burden to sacrifice. It was a burden to serve. It was a burden to do all the things that God wanted to do. And folks, if you come to church because you think it's a burden, you need to change your attitude. We need to serve out of love and not out of duty. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And so they were faithless because they spoke harshly to the Lord. You know, have you been fighting in your inner being with God? Trying to make a deal, trying to cut a deal with Him? It's not going to work. That's not showing faith. Have you basically got an ungodly view of service, say it is a burden to do these things? That's not the right view of faith. And then in verse 15, it goes even to, they were actually showing sarcasm towards God. See, they accused God of lifting up the prideful and the arrogant. You know, David himself cried out. He says, why do the wicked have all this blessing and the righteous are forsaken? And he's going, wait a second. This is not what they're saying here. They're saying, it says, and now we call the proud happy. Folks, when you turn your back on God, don't think that God loves you. When you basically start disagreeing with God's truth, when you start being disobedient to his ways, and the Holy Spirit, and then you basically start calling evil good and good evil, then you're going to wind up here. You have no idea of what is right and what is wrong. And so they were showing sarcasm to God because they accused God of lifting up the prideful and arrogant, and says, now we call the proud happy. Which is what? Opposite to what God says. They accuse God of lifting up the wicked. And that the work, it says, and that the wickedness are what? Set up. Okay? They have set up. What do you mean? Lifted up on high. Folks, that's happening today. Look at our government. Look in schools. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says we wrestle what? Not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in what? High places. High places. And then lastly, they accused him of exempting those that tempt God. It says here, it says, they that tempt God are what? Even delivered. So, this is how you become faithless. You basically speak harshly to the Lord. You resist him. You doubt him. You disagree with him. You disobey him. And then you just have a totally wrong view. And then that goes through every part of your life. But in verses 16 through 18, there's more to the story. We see the faithful servant. You know, God always shows us what it takes to be right. And God declares his listening to the faithful here in verse 16. It says, they and then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord what?
Hearkened.
He heard them. Why do they hearken to him? Because of the reverential fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. You turn over to Psalm chapter 34, verses 11 through 15. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay? How do we respect God? Well, it is opposite to what they were doing in the priesthood in Malachi's time. Because the psalmist is saying, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may what? See good. Keep thy tongue from evil. That is totally opposite, that your words are stout against me. And the lips from speaking guile, the same thing. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Well, if you're seeking peace, you have to be seeking God. God, he's the God of what? All peace. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So God declares his listening to the faithful. In Psalm 66, 18, if I regard what? Iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We're supposed to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the first part says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, the righteous were thinking, they were being focused on God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so, basically, we need to have our thinking God way. Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. If seeking, you're thinking about it, and you're actually doing something about it. So here in verse 16, God declares his listening to the faithful. Then he goes on and he says he declares his remembrance to the faithful. And the Lord heard it, hearkened it, and a book of what? Remembrance. See, nothing that you do for God will ever be forgotten. We heard that this morning with an excellent message on Mary and the alabaster box. And that was a significant event, so significant in God's eyes, that Christ said, wherever this gospel is preached, it's going to be written. And in every gospel, it's there. See, God doesn't forget. He remembers everything that we do. What does he remember? Because they were faithful in worship. See, they didn't think it was a burden to do the Lord's service. Because they were faithful in their study together. It said they spake one to another. We talked about relationships, and we'll conclude that series next week. That our relationships go beyond the church doors, and it should be a daily relationship one with another. And then because they were faithful in focusing their mind on the things of God. It says, They feared the Lord and that thought, what? Upon his name. When you think about God, what do you think about? About what God can do for me or what I can do for God? Right there shows where your spiritual walk is. If it's all about, all you do is you say, well, God, do this for me. Please do this for me. Please do this for me. Please do this for me. We're kind of like Jacob or Gideon. If you are really doing, then you do this for me and show me. See, we just need to walk by faith and not by sight. In verse 17, God declares the preciousness to the faithful. And it says, and they shall be what? Mine. The Hebrew for this word mine is a very possessive, an extremely possessive thing. Now, God's name is also what? Jealous. He's also jealous. It says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my what? Jewels. See, God's declares the preciousness of the faithful. It speaks of his ownership. It speaks of a complete surrender, as we heard this morning. It speaks of something that will get commended by God in the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. See, we might say that we know the Lord, but it's more important that the Lord knows us. And the Lord cannot know us unless we know his Son as our Savior. Yeah. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on it, then you don't know. And I got great news. God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But we need to believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and confess with the mouth that God raised him from the dead. Amen. We need to do those things. It's not about what thinking is. It's what about the Bible says. If you've never done that, you need to do it tonight. We played for a whole bunch of names. Okay? They don't know God. But the biggest question right now is, do you? The Lord knoweth them that are his. It says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Folks, we're going to keep on coming back to this point. We're supposed to be a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Be holy as I am holy. We're supposed to be Christ-like. That's in our relationship to him. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? I guarantee you, folks, there's a lot of people, maybe even in this room tonight, they know what you're supposed to do, but you won't do it. What makes you any different than these priests back in Malachi? It's all the same problem. And if we're not following God, then our words are stout against him. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye have God, and you're what? Not your own? Total surrender again. It's complete. For ye are bought with a price, the most costly price possible. Christ dying on the cross.
Amen.
Therefore glorify God in your body, which is the Spirit, which and in your spirit, which are God's. See, he declares the preciousness of the faithful. It says, you'll be my jewels. I make up my jewels. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are, you fill in the blank,
precious
in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Folks, Christ called us little children. He loves us. We're precious. And it's like, we are the treasures of God if we do what God wants us to do. If we do what God empowers us to do. Those priests back there, that nation back then, should have been the precious, the treasure of God. It says in the Bible that Israel is the apple of God's eye. And folks, we can lose that if we just don't follow him. So God declares his listening to the, God declares his listening to the faithful. Okay? God declares his remembrance of the faithful. And God declares the preciousness of his faithful. Also, he declares his grace to the faithful. In verse 17, it says, he says, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Okay? Basically, if you go up to verse 16, it says, the fear of the Lord and that thought upon a name, it says, so God is sparing while he's delivering people from judgment. That's what God's grace does. That's what God's mercy does. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it was used this morning. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We will be not spared because we deserve it. We will be spared because we are precious in God's eyes. We'll be spared because we have the blood of Christ on us. We'll be spared because we understand the love of God. We'll be spared because we won't be like they were back then. We won't be spared. We will not be spared because we earn it. We know the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Baptism doesn't get you there. Church membership doesn't get you there. You can't be good enough because all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, he declares his grace that delivers the faithful because we don't deserve it, and we can't earn it. And we'll be spared because of God's free grace. I close with two familiar verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life.
Amen.
And in Romans 3:24 it says, being justified freely by his grace through the what? Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Are we faithful or faithless? Are we faithful or faithless? You can't be faithful unless you have saving faith in Jesus Christ. You can't be faithful if you say you have saving faith in Jesus Christ. You can't be faithful unless you do what Christ asks us to do. Unless we do what God's Word says. Unless we do what Holy Spirit tells us to do. We can't be faithful unless we do that. And if we're not faithful, we are what? Faithless. It's an easy choice. It's one or the other. Which one are you tonight? Let's leave here being faithful. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just help us to be faithful to you in all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.